Actually, give me a sound check once. Give me, what'd you have for breakfast today?
Nothing. I had a protein shake.
Protein shake.
So next to nothing. Yeah, I gotta.
Man.
I gotta fix this body. It's too much of a bowler's body now.
All right. Here we go. Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things related to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and I am here today with barebow expert, John Demmer. John, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, PJ.
Tell me, what is it about barebow? Because obviously at the Lancaster Archery Classic, we've been building that up as well. Last year we had 125. This year we had over 200. I mean, what is it about barebow that just has people coming to that class? We don't see other classes growing by those numbers from year to year. There are classes that are bigger, of course, but we don't see, that seems to be the class that is growing by the most numbers now.
Well, I think a lot has to do with how active the people are in the class. I think a lot of the classes, they get, I don't know if they get comfortable. I don't know what the best use of words are here. But I know in the barebow side, there's a lot of people that, especially the more on the top end, they're trying to get more and more people to come out and shoot. They're actively promoting it. They're actively promoting shoots like the Classic, shoots like Vegas. We're always saying, you know, come out and shoot with us, join us, hang out with us, learn. We're always recruiting. I don't think you see a lot of that in some of the other classes. I think that's probably where they get a little stale at times. Even though some of the classes are larger, some of them are, you know, quite large. I think it's just that reactive recruiting within, I think, helps a lot.
Well, I stood down there and watched, and as you're talking about, you know, that, you know, barebow archers tend to recruit, you being one of them that actively recruits. I mean, I've seen you do that. But then also, as you mentioned, the interaction. I mean, I saw people coming up to you, you know, obviously they know who you are, and just asking you questions. And of course, you're giving them advice. You don't necessarily see that happen that frequently in the other classes, but you all seem to be in barebow. Hey, somebody wants to know something, you'll tell them whatever.
Yeah, I think that's the message we've been sending for quite a few years. And I think it's getting out there that, yeah, just come on and ask away, say hi. Like I said, I think that comes along with the recruiting process of getting more people to show people that we are open-minded. I know a lot of the other classes are, a lot of the other shooters are. I tend to see people are more hesitant to approach like Brady Ellison or Levi Morgan or Jesse Broadwater because they're intimidated or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I know on our side that we're always pushing, we're always encouraging people to ask. We want people to learn. We want people, you know, to eventually, if not currently, just, you know, beat us and make the class better and make us stronger and make each other more competitive and just better shooters in general.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. I don't want to paint a picture that the other pros are like snubbing people. Jesse Broadwater, I mean, yeah, if anybody did go up and ask him a question, he'd tell you whatever you want to know. There are many, many compound pros like that.
He was my first roommate at Field Worlds, the first one I went to. I opened up the door and look around the corner, and here's Jesse on his bed. I think he was texting his wife and me. And I'm like, so you're Jesse Broadwater, huh? And he's like, she's like, so you're John, huh? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I had to Facebook stalk you a little bit. You usually wear some funky clothes. but I got to know him fairly well for that week. If all the other pros are like him, yeah, they're definitely an open book and would gladly share information.
For sure. Yeah, they don't hold back. And there's a lot just like him. But like you said, it seems like with the barebow crowd, they, even for the, you know, for the novices, they seem more willing to approach you as well. I mean, a pro can't do anything if nobody asks them a question, but
exactly.
The novices seem in Baribeau seem to be willing. Hey, there's John Demmer. I'm going to go say hi and, you know, ask him a question.
Yep. Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. I think a lot of that also has to do with how active some of us are on, like, the Facebook groups and on Instagram and all that. I think there's a lot behind the just being active.
For sure. So do you think, what do you think is doable out there in terms of numbers? Are we just scratching the surface for Baribeau Recurve?
I hope we are. I mean, just seeing how strong it's growing in U.S. archery and the classic, and just watching, like, on the USA side, watching the more and more younger kids getting active. They're still kind of pushed away towards the Olympic side as they progress. I'm thinking it's starting to happen less and less. It still happens a lot, but, I think your guys is, what's the Saturday afternoon or Friday afternoon tournament for you guys? It's like the Easton Joad
Easton Youth Trophy Tournament. That
yes.
was Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon. Yes. I think you guys got a lot more youth Baribeau archers yes. this time around too. And I think that's what's, if that keeps growing, who knows what eventually we can do. I don't think we'll ever get as popular as Compound and Recurve, but it's always a very exciting class to watch. So I think that will always be intriguing. I think we can do quite well. I think eventually at the Classic, I think we can get up to pushing 200-300 consistently every year.
Yeah.
Vegas, who knows? I mean, because Vegas is a different pull. It pulls from a bigger audience. It's just such a huge shoot. There's so much to do around it. I think we could probably, I think eventually, realistically, I think we can get up to 400 in the flights. And if they offer a championship class eventually, that we could probably push around 450 total between the two.
Well,
I think that'd be an awesome goal.
I wanted to make two points there. First, you mentioned with the kids, and yes, I can say I shot more competitions in the 90s. I never saw a kid shooting Baribeau, never saw it. Whereas now, even at our tournaments at Lancaster Archery Academy or the Classic, you regularly see boys and girls, you know, from ages 8 to 15, 16, shooting Baribeau and shooting it well, which is just great.
Some of them are shooting really well. I know Frank McDonough's student
yes.
is shooting 400s already, and I think he, if I remember correctly, he's like 11.
Yeah, he just set or broke either a national record. I think it was a national record.
Yeah, it's a national record, yeah.
That's yep. great. I think his name was Ethan. Can't remember. Frank will call me and tell me.
Yep.
but then secondly, as you mentioned, Vegas draws from a bigger crowd. And in Europe, Baribeau is actually fairly large. I mean, it's huge over there.
Yeah, it's a smaller of the three main categories, but it's still a much larger percentage than what we are here. We're working on it.
What do you think it will take to draw more of those archers over?
Well, obviously money talks for some. Bigger prize money, as the more interest gets involved and the prize money goes up, that will help more. I think we're very, very close to the stage where we will start getting more. If for some miracle reason, we can get Baribeau into the World Indoor Series, even if it's not included in everything, but just a couple, like Rome and Vegas, I think that will pull even more. It should definitely pull a lot more to Vegas. If they made it like a 2 or 3 part series, I think that would probably be our next step of moving this forward, somehow getting the numbers up enough for World Archery to want to consider that.
Well, that's an interesting point too, because you had one sort of, I call it a test event. I don't know if that's the correct term, but the Indoor World Series Barebow was offered at the Rome event. How did that go? And do you see that spreading to the other competitions in the series?
I think it went fairly well. We had, oh boy, put me on the spot. I think we had 67 or somewhere around there men barebow shooters and like 40 some women.
Oh, wow.
I think that was a fairly good event for just kind of like last minute putting it in there and giving the opportunity. I know it wasn't part of the World Archery event, but it was part of the Rome event.
Right. So it was not part of the indoor series. It was just they allowed it at that competition.
Yeah. It's kind of like the youth classes. It's really not part of the World Series.
Gotcha.
But there, it's part of the event. There was a couple. I know a couple of people worked pretty hard from Italy to try to offer an opportunity for barebow to get in there. And hopefully, you know, with those numbers, World Archery might consider it down the road. If we're totally blessed, it'll be next year. But if not, you know, just hopefully keep working on the numbers and kind of open some eyes a little bit more.
For USA Archery, now barebow is offered for the USAT events outdoors. Do you see growth there happening at the USAT events, Outdoor Nationals, Buckeye Classic, things like that? Do you see this barebow movement transitioning to that?
So for our USAT events, we have three events. It's Indoor Nationals, Field Nationals, and Target Nationals. We're not into like the Buckeye Classic or the Gator Cup
There's no barebow at those.
No, there's currently there's not. I don't know if we're big enough for them to think about it yet. Art with barebow target, I think, is probably the least amount of draw that we can get for shooters. A lot of barebow shooters shoot 3D. So field is a good compromise for the 3D shooters. So we do get a lot in the field events. Target is the one that's hard to get people to come to. But it's one of my favorite events because you get so much to do. You get the team events and the head-to-heads and the qualifications. There's a lot of shooting to do during that week.
It's exciting. I watched, I guess it was Outdoor Target Nationals. I watched you guys shooting, and I mean, it was exciting. I liked watching it.
Yeah, that's the point where I think we're struggling just a little bit to get people to come out to. Field, it's been, I mean, we've had some great success on the field team, so that's just naturally breeding more interest in the field. So our field numbers are usually pretty good. Our indoor numbers are getting better and better. I think we're, last year we were at like 380 some that competed. I think we're up to, if everybody shows up, I think we're over 420 this year. I mean, it's been 5 years ago, we were at like 80. So that part keeps growing. That target is, that's our bugaboo. We gotta work on that a little bit
better. I know. Scott Starnes, he's a senior men's compound archer. He always, when people ask, he shoots all the USAT events, all the indoor, all that stuff. And I heard someone ask him, you know, well, what about 3D? And he said, I like to shoot my bow too much to shoot 3D. If I'm going to shoot something, I want to shoot USAT because you get to shoot a heck of a lot of arrows.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I like Target Nationals. We shoot 72 arrows one day, 72 the next day. This past year, we got to shoot team events. You know, you might only be able to shoot 6 arrows before you get knocked out, but you could also shoot, you know, up to another 30, with a teammate, enjoy that, you know, that teammate, competition. Same thing with the following day after the second day of qualifications, you shoot with a solid men's or women's team. You shoot the head-to-heads there, which gives you another opportunity to bond with more people, get to know people that maybe you didn't know before. And then the last day you get to shoot some head to heads. There's a lot of shooting. I think
Yeah.
last year, 144, 60, 80. Gosh, I shot at least 200 arrows, and that's the thing that for me is it's kind of worn on me a little bit. I'll probably get back into it eventually, but 3D, it's a lot of driving for 40 arrows.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating part for me. That's
Is there? Go ahead.
with the target, you shoot with the same, you shoot with that crowd all day. So you have access to talk to whoever you want that whole line all day. 3D, you got four. I mean, yeah, you get to make some good bonds with people if you get along with them, that's great. But man, an event like Target, you can talk to anybody you want. It doesn't people you're shooting with. Obviously, you're going to be talking with them when you walk up and down the range to score your arrows. But as you're sitting or getting a drink, you can. If you're shooting next to the recurve guys, you can go talk to the recurve guys or compound women. You go talk to the compound women, and you have everybody almost at your full disposal.
The barebow recurve flights that never existed before at the Vegas shoot. Previously, there was championship barebow, but that's NFAA barebow, which allows compound bows. If you're shooting, it allows stabilizers, it allows a lot of things. But you were behind a big push to get barebow recurve into the Vegas shoot as a separate class. Tell us about that effort to get that done.
Yeah, I mean there was quite a few of us actually that wanted to. Well, we're hoping that it would eventually happen. We've talked to quite a few NFAA members, board members, council members, participating championship barebow shooters to get some ideas of what we can do, how we can do it, how to go around doing it, and for the most part. They all seem pretty open-minded, but their biggest fear was that we've never had enough people to get that opportunity. So for like the last 4 years, they pretty much said, "Okay, if you guys come and we can build up this championship class big enough and show us that enough recurve shooters that will come out and compete in it, we can give you that opportunity." So there was a lot of involvement with the barebow recurve community, and quite a few compound barebows were on our side because, as a barebow class, we're all in it together. We're all in this like unique fraternity, whether you shoot compound or recurve. So it was good to get support from both sides. If we didn't, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion today. Maybe in a few years, but we definitely wouldn't be having it today.
When did this push start to get barebow recurve separated from championship barebow?
Yeah, probably about 5 years ago is when we started to initiate. Well, I personally know myself and a few friends of mine. We started to initiate conversations and see about it. I know in the past there has been discussions, and like I said before, we just never had enough numbers, and that idea was always shot down. So we went about it a little different way, and tried to work our way into showing that, yeah, there is a push behind it, and these people will show up if given the opportunity.
And not only did they show up, but they showed up in huge numbers. The championship barebow class, I looked, had 60 archers competing it. Recurve barebow had 150.
Yeah, that's about normal when you compare championships and flights. You have a lot of shooters enter the flights in all various levels of skill level. You have a lot of beginners, a lot of intermediates, and you have some veterans. Championship class, you tend to get a lot more of the veterans that are competing at a cur currently competing at a high level. So you always will have that. I think there was probably 15 to 20 recurve shooters that still shot in the championship class.
That many.
Yeah, there was quite a few. A friend of mine told me there was 22. I'm not 100% sure if that's right or wrong, but the line that I saw the one day, it looked like there was at least 15. So it very well could be an accurate number.
So, and there, but there is no, if correct me if I'm wrong, there is no barebow flight of any, I mean, aside from the new one, the barebow recurve flights, there was no NFAA barebow flight. It was either, if you wanted to shoot barebow, it was championship or nothing, correct?
Yep. It was either pay $300 to shoot championship flight or nothing. So, this is a I think this is a good way to begin things. It's only $175 to enter the flights. You have a chance to win something, whether if you're a beginner, or an intermediate, or if you're one of the better ones out there. You have a chance to win something. And I think that's what brings a lot of people into the Vegas. I mean, you can just look at the compound flights. I mean, I think there's like a close to 1,000 people in that one compound flight class.
Sure.
It's crazy. I think that's what's going to help us in the long term, is getting more people acclimated to tournaments, seeing that it's not a stuffy crowd. It could be quite fun.
What was your take for first place? What was the prize money there in the flights?
First place. So this was like a bank year. That's what they do for Vegas, is when something comes out the first year, they'll come out with some guaranteed money, and then whatever extra comes in, they're banking on it for next year. So the next year will be a different amount, and so
Gotcha.
on and so forth. So it always reacts to the previous year. Since we never had a previous year, they just came out with a basic payout for the number one shooter, number one, two, and three shooters, based on 40 shooters. So it'd be like one class or one flight. So that's how they were based on this year. So I think it was 1,500 and 250, if I remember correctly, was
Oh,
or oh,
first,
let me take
second,
that.
third.
Yeah, 1,500 and 300, I think, was first, second, and third for the
Gotcha.
first flight. And then, since we had so many shooters, it should go up next year, because next year will be based off of this past year's number.
Right. Well, now then, as you were mentioning, championship tends to be the higher skilled crowd. Why would you, John Demmer, one of the best barebow archers in the world, shoot barebow recurve then in the flights versus the championship?
Well, I was one of the ones that pushed for it, was very active in trying to get people together to get more involved in it. I find it's kind of necessary for those that were that active, that much involvement in it, to show that, yeah, we're going to stand behind it, no matter what, even if there might be a better opportunity to make some money elsewhere, that we're in it for the long haul, and get this whole thing going. Yeah, I found it kind of like it's I had to, plus, I also wanted to.
Right. And I mean, I came down there and spent just a couple ends with you folks. And as you had mentioned, you had one hole. I guess it was half of one of the halls. There was a hall that was split into two sections where they had bales on the left side and bales on the right side. And the recurve bareboat, you had the whole left side. I mean, there wasn't anybody else competing in that area except you folks. You filled it up.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I think we were probably maybe four empty bales of having the entire side. If anybody's familiar with where the practice range used to be 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it was in that old practice, the old practice arena. We had the one complete side. It was pretty crazy, especially for the first year. I anticipate next year we'll probably be leaking into the other side as well.
For sure. And I mean, I'm guessing that your hope is that this thing just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah, though, I mean, our goal is to, get this thing bigger and bigger, and eventually lead into numbers that we might possibly get barebow recurve championship class as well. But I think right now, I think it's good just to keep doing what we're doing for the next couple of years, build up the numbers, build up the level of shooters so that if a championship flight is offered, we have enough shooters that are competitive enough and want to compete in that championship class to make it legit as well as the flights.
I mean, there, I was looking at a list of some of the competitors, and some of the biggest names were there. Of course, yourself, John Dillinger was second. I saw Rich Barker, Michael Fisher, who just won the Lancaster Archery Classic, barebow division. So, I mean, there were some good shooters who were in that flight with you, that you had to compete against.
Yeah, I bet you, coming off the Lancaster Classic, I bet you there's probably half of the top 32 at the Classic were in the flights. I think we'll always get some really good shooters, and we had some additional international come to Vegas that didn't come to the Classic. It's probably because they travel with a lot of friends, and a lot of their friends that shoot compound or compete in the World Cup event and like that. So yeah, we had the Clevens from the Netherlands. They came. Tuan is a very good shooter. Has I want to say he's podiumed before in the past. The field goals before. A very good shooter as well.
Do you have, I mean, you've shot everything that a barebow archer could shoot. Do you have any personal goals left that something that you, John Demmer, want to accomplish for yourself? I know you're very active in promoting the sport, and I'm sure you have a lot of goals there, but are there any goals for you as an individual barebow archer?
I guess the last one, besides just the class goal of keep moving it forward would be maybe a decent individual medal at like the Field Worlds. I did pretty well at the last World Games, which was pretty awesome.
That
But
was in
I always,
Poland two
yeah,
years ago, 3 years ago now.
Poland, yeah. 2 years ago, I think, right now.
You took the
Maybe
silver.
three, yeah. So we got that coming around here in another 2 years. That's going to be in Alabama, so that'd be
Oh, it's
pretty
here
cool.
this they don't it's here the next time. Nice.
Yeah, yep, Alabama. You're gonna be hot. Alabama in the summer. Anybody who's ever shot target nationals down in Alabama knows it's hot. But yeah, that'd probably be the last goal is to get an individual medal at Field Worlds. Qualified high, missed out. Qualified high score, won Worlds too early. That would have locked me into the semifinals match no matter what moving forward. But
I thought you won the silver in Poland.
so team events,
Not
team
individual.
events medaled, but individually for Field Worlds I haven't yet.
Oh, what am I thinking of? What I
You're thinking of the Poland, the World Games.
and you're talking about World Field, the like
Yes.
what we just had in Cortina.
Yes, sir.
I got you. I got you. Now I'm with you. Okay. So that's what you're talking about. You want a world field medal.
Yeah, that would be nice, but if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, yeah, it's
Do you, now you're from Northeast Pennsylvania, do you have shoots that you can go to practice your field, or do you just generally just practice shooting that on your own?
It's pretty much all on my own. That's the hard part. I think that's the hardest part for the states, because we don't have a lot of field events. You might get a random state field event. I think we just started one down by you guys down in New York.
Yeah.
That was only it only started about 2 years ago maybe.
Which
So
is odd because I field archery is my favorite game. I love that. It's different distances, you shoot a lot of arrows,
yep,
and
and you shoot multiple days.
and I know when I was at my peak, when I was at my best as a target archer was when I was shooting field a lot. You
Yeah, you just get more aware of your surroundings. You pay attention to your bow lean more. You you pay attention to the target lean more. Yeah, just pay attention to your footing more.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more that comes into play with field. It's just, I think it makes you a better all-around archer.
It used to be very active here in the Lancaster area. There was a league that I would shoot in the summer. And I mean, there was a shoot every weekend for about 4 or 5 months. And those field events would have, 200, 300 archers every single weekend. Now it's 3D is more popular, but yeah, that is a
Yeah,
shame.
it's 3Ds, but it's where the money's at. If somehow big sponsorship can get into the field, I'm sure field would take right off again. It doesn't seem to be doing too bad at the national levels. Just the local levels, it's taken a hurting.
Right. Well, there are several people, many people, including yourself, who put barebow archery. And now there is one guy we have here at Lancaster Archery, John Wirt, who is very well known in the barebow archery community. Talk a little bit about his support for what you do. Not being a competitor, but I mean, I know I see people calling him all day long. People send him their bows to adjust the limbs. He does technical work with people. I mean, I don't know someone who works with more archers on that level, compound, Olympic recurve or otherwise, than he does.
Yeah, he does an awesome job. I mean, he might not compete a lot. We can usually generally get him out every other year for the field trials, which is always an awesome experience, awesome time to hang out with him and the rest of the barebow group that stays in the same house. But yeah, he does so much work for us. He's always behind the scenes, trying to help people out with their equipment, just what to pick for their bows. If something's wrong, like you said, I know so many people that, they ask me a question. I'm like, well, where are you at? And they're like, well, I'm down in this area. I'm like, well, Lancaster's coming to that area for this shoot or that shoot, or, just if you got some time, just go and see him. I mean, it's so much easier to get hands-on help than over the phone or over the internet. And John's like so super active when it comes to helping people, both hands-on, over the phone, at work. I'm sure his wife kind of gets annoyed a little bit like mine does, but I'm sure he'll be glad to help anybody anytime he can if he has the moment.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, John Demmer. We certainly appreciate your time and your insights in being here.
Thanks for having me, PJ. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
This has been another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Be sure and like and subscribe to this podcast. You can find it. It's based on SoundCloud, but you can find it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. So be sure and check back for future episodes. Thanks for listening.